David, there's a lot of swearing. There's a lot of people raising us up where we belong, where the eagles fly. Is this where our need for PDA comes from?
You know, I think it's a complicated question, because these days to display PDAs become a lot easier.
Public display of affection.
Yes, and public display of affection is not only when one is doing it in the flesh, for a want of a better word, but actually online as well. And we know that, you know, we have Facebook, we have Instagram, and it's so easy now just to show affection online by posting a picture or by writing, you know, words of love and affection.
Right.
So it's become a lot easier. And I think for me, one thing that hasn't changed is that we are, at the beginning, certainly high on love. And they've done studies to show, amazing studies, that show that when you're actually in that honeymoon phase, that the part of the brain that lights up when one takes cocaine is actually lit up even more when one is in a honeymoon phase. You actually are high or drunk. And it's understandable that
you hear that, Sonati.
Yeah, I don't need cocaine, actually.
You never did, Sonati. Yeah. You never did. Just to be clear on that, yeah.
And Zipporah.
Zahava.
Zahava, sorry.
Right.
Sorry, I wasn't sure what you settled on. Zahava.
No, she left the gold business, yeah.
So I think again, it's so normal to, in the beginning of a relationship, to want to, you know, show one's affection to one's loved one, to be more physical in public. And so I think that's a normal reaction. And obviously then when one breaks up, you know, and Facebook and Instagram are very good at knowing when you're falling in love, because it's quite obvious.
But that's my problem, is I want to sort of start an Excel spreadsheet.
Yes.
And I've often thought about that, of relationships on Facebook. Because in the beginning of a lot of these relationships, it's literally every single day that one of them are declaring their undying love for each other. And then it sort of diminishes. And then about a year later, I'm wondering, is this couple still married, or are they still an item? Why can't, I mean, they have honestly polluted Facebook with their love, and all of it, they've made us dependent on their story, and then they withdraw. And then what are we meant to do, David?
Well, Howard, you're not supposed to be living vicariously through someone else's Facebook love.
Why are they putting it there?
Well, that's the point. The point is, in the beginning, when one is high on love, one expresses it in so many ways, and it's easy to do it. And interestingly enough, which I was very surprised about, that they found, well, maybe not so surprising because of that, you know, being so high on love.
This guy is still swearing.
Oh my God,
he's actually still swearing. I'm not even making this up.
Oh my goodness.
He's still at it.
May he never end.
They swear, they swear. All right, so sorry, David, I was being very rude there. I just got distracted by him swearing.
Yeah. Not at all. I was also. I think for me, we want to express our love in the beginning, and we do, and we high on love, but then things become very real. And then being high on love is not, physical attraction's not enough. We know that things start to develop, we start to show our true selves, and that's when things become real. So it's no wonder that when they do studies on people who are posting pictures of them and their couple, or their, you know, them and their loved one, that that people perceive them to really be in love, and people do seem to be a lot happier. But clearly, that's the beginning of the relationship. But as things progress, things become more real, and things don't really start to become as, you know, people don't become as affectionate online, and as affectionate when it comes to physical interactions.
But this is a relatively new concept in terms of social media. What happened before this? You know, what was the alternative? Was it All for One singing I Swear? How did this manifest? Because it must have come from somewhere. It's not a brand new phenomenon. What used to happen?
I think it's quite natural for people to show affection towards each other. I mean, we're talking about such a broad range here. We're talking about parents to their children. We're talking about siblings showing affection. And, you know, even, you know, guys hugging each other in a, you know, even in a, you know, in a manly way, you know, women holding hands, kissing each other. You know, this is something natural that we want to show affection to another person. And it's quite, I would say natural in many ways to hold someone's hand, to want to show your connection to someone by being physical. So I think for me, it's always been there. And I think again, if we're talking about romantic relationship, just like online, I think it mimicked exactly what happened in the past, but we didn't know so much about it because it wasn't so public. It wasn't so intense in the beginning, got quieter in the middle, and at the end we see pictures being erased, and quite obviously the relationship ending. So I think for me it's always been there, but it's been exposed by Facebook, by social media, and like most things with social media and is that we know just too much information now.
So what is your advice in terms of social media? And I want to get on, after we take some traffic, I want to get on to the physical display of affection, which is another aspect to this. But what is your advice to couples who are falling madly in love with regards to social media? Because there is a need somehow to share, to scream it from the mountaintops and from the roof of every building that you know, I'm happy and in love. And it's actually quite cute. There's actually something wonderful about that. But what are you meant to do with that?
Well, I'm going to answer that in a maybe in a clinical way and say, what does the research show? And this is interesting as far as Yiddishkeit is concerned, because a lot of the research shows that the more affectionate people are at the beginning of the relationship, the less chance that the relationship will survive long term.
What? What?
How is that?
No.
Yep.
Okay, you have to say that again.
So the more physical, I'm talking about physical interaction.
Right.
That one has at the beginning and the start of one's relationship, the less chance that a relationship will survive. And I'm talking about years into the future.
Which is so interesting, because from a Jewish perspective and from a religious perspective, which wasn't going to be a focus of this conversation, that is certainly in keeping with a strategy. A couple isn't particularly physical. In fact, they're not physical at all, depending on the level of observance, until they get married. And even then, it is quite strictly controlled in terms of, you know, how a couple lives their life.
Absolutely. And that's, you know, that's actually what came to mind, is that, you know, when you read these modern studies, if you want to call it that, that it actually does, you know, if you're thinking about what they're advising, does talk to, you know, the Jewish way of being and Jewish relationships, because there is this whole idea of keeping it very intimate for you. It's not meant to be to show people how one loves each other. This is not me. It's not meant to be an advertising campaign. It's not to be something that you have to prove to others how much you love each other, but more about the two of you and saving it and making it something very special. So again, when we come to to Yiddishkeit, to Judaism, yeah, I think, if you follow the rules, if you follow the mitzvot, it seems like you've got a better chance of actually staying together.
At 8:30, David Abramson joining us in studio. He's a psychologist in private practice. We are discussing PDAs, public display of affection. David, you said the most incredibly interesting thing before the break. And that is that couples that are less affectionate physically in the beginning of a relationship, those relationships actually last longer.
And that's scientific research. And I think really...
Can't argue with science.
I don't think you can.
Yeah, there's a reason I'm still not married.
Right. Yes, David.
Absolutely, because... and really the logic is that in the beginning, it's just, you know, you get everything. You have so much intensity as far as physicality is concerned. And again, if we think to, you know, what we were speaking about before, that one is overwhelmed with these chemicals, these love chemicals. But then things get real, and it changes. It could be, 3 months. It could be a year. You know, every relationship is different, but things then become real. Things that were exciting before, are not so exciting. And then we start to be, as we said before, we become ourselves. And that's when the real work begins.
And then he doesn't do those things that he used to do.
So nutty.
I'm just saying.
She's just saying. Maybe we need to focus for just a moment on the nutty.
Can I just say I have a friend who's a nutty can, I think should spend some time with.
I'm all right, guys. It's fine.
All right. Sorry. Just unsigned says, the bridge on the Belgrave crossing in the Spruit in River Club is flooded. Cars are still driving over it. Me, I'm not so brave. I've rerouted via Durban to get to Cape Town. All right, fine. I genuinely think it's a mess out there, and I really urge you, please just be patient. Everybody is going to be late for everything today. Don't get worked up. There is nothing that you can do that is going to result in a positive answer or solution if you get aggravated. Just carry on as you were. You'll get there when you get there. Better late than never. Well, actually, no, because I used to have a university lecturer, English lecturer, a professor, and Professor Sherman, actually. And we were split between campuses. I did law on West Campus and English, whatever it was, 2 or 3, on East Campus. And I would be running from the bottom of West to the top of East. And I gave you no time in the middle, maybe 5 minutes. Yeah. And you know what? I wasn't athletic as I am today. So it was actually a problem. I had to get across. And I remember walking in to his class and he would look at me and say, "Mr. Feldman, better never than late."
No.
Okay, well, those were the days. We weren't sensitive in those days. Yeah. I didn't stage a protest. I didn't ask for him to be fired. We didn't publicly shame him.
I actually
thought he was quite clever.
Oh, my goodness.
But those were them. Sorry.
I have a suggestion.
Yes.
To calm everyone down in the traffic, I think we should play Atlantic Star Secret Lovers. What do you think?
What is that?
Have you never heard that?
No, it's a secret.
No, it's not. Just Google it and you'll...
What? Have you heard of that?
No.
Atlantic what?
Star. S-T-A-R-R.
Okay, I'm going to look for that. But in the meantime, David, can we please continue talking about, physical, public displays of affection? We certainly see it a lot in, you know, the problem is that with social media, with Instagram, with Facebook, a lot of what our kids are modeling are these types of relationships. So you are seeing, you go into the New York Post, there's a big thing, page 6, and who's being seen in public all over whomever. It's the modeling is problematic.
The modeling is problematic. But, you know, I think the SMS that came in is very important to talk about because, if that elderly couple is holding each other around, you know, that is a...
They might just be holding each other up.
I'm going to be less cynical, Howard.
Okay, thank you. That's good.
That's a genuine... They're not doing it, I would imagine, to show the world, you know, and to prove that they...
No, of course not. I'm joking.
100%. To prove to the world that they are...
They really have nothing to prove, I would imagine,
exactly,
at this point.
Yeah. Exactly. So again, you know, if you are holding hands or you're showing affection in public, and it's genuine, this is a genuine show of affection rather than I'm feeling insecure, so I have to hold on to my man or my woman. Mm-hmm. I have to, you know, I own you and everyone needs to see that, or showing off, how fantastic our relationship is. Then clearly that's not a healthy way of showing affection. And interestingly enough, Howard, a study done on Facebook, mm-hmm. that when people saw huge amounts of affection and even expressions of love that were very, very intimate, people actually, even though they often don't say it, the study showed that people do not enjoy it. People feel uncomfortable. In fact, they don't approve of it. So it sounds like also, it seems like there's also a line in the sand where people, even on social media, start to feel uncomfortable when it becomes too personal.
So. Yeah, so it is fascinating because I often have this conversation with our children, and obviously you've got to take the fact that we're a religious household, but they're still very, very involved in this whole world and Instagram and the likes and who's going out with whom and all of that, because that is the world in which we live. And there is definitely, I've noticed, even from sort of from teenagers, this distaste for too much, you know, there's too much. In fact, my daughter laughed at me because I walked into our playroom one afternoon, and there were a whole lot of kids sitting there, and there was this one girl sitting on her boyfriend's lap. Now they're 15. And I said to them, I'm sorry, I didn't realize there's not enough chairs. You know, I said to my daughter, why don't you just bring extra chairs so that everybody has a place to sit? And I thought she was going to kill me afterwards. And she actually thought this was the funniest thing ever because it made them very, it made other kids very uncomfortable. And they kind of liked the fact that I walked in and addressed it in sort of a funny way. Yes. But, you know, it certainly wasn't something I was comfortable happening in my house. And therefore, you know, and my kids clearly had felt the same. They just didn't quite know what to do about it.
Oh, absolutely. And I think that's the point, is that we see, so much public affection in the, you know, in the media and we're just bombarded by it. But I think, you know, it comes down to having too much information. And I think too much information, I would say in most instances when it comes to social media is not a good thing. You don't need to know the intimate details,
you don't want to actually.
You know, I think there is a voyeuristic part of us that likes to see and likes to know about people's goings on, about where they are.
So I'm absolutely, I love knowing what goes on in people's, you know, who people really are. But that's very, very different to knowing about the intimacy of their relationship.
Well, I think that's where the line is crossed. When you know where someone is on holiday, when you know that they went to a party,
right,
which I still don't think is necessary, actually.
Look, but I don't want people to stop because I love that. Because I'll look at the photos and I'll tell you exactly which couples are having a problem and where things are going wrong, because I love those photos.